Yud Dalet Sivan, Thursday, the 22nd of May, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, chapter and verse, part 8.
Right, good morning all. What we've done so far, it was a very, very brief survey, is we started with the letters, explained the significance of the Hebrew alphabet and the various ways that the letters have meaning, how they're made up, and then we moved from the letters to the words, how the words have a special kedusha of their own, and from the words to the psukim, the all components that are divine components of Lashon HaKodesh, and then we discussed various aspects of the what we call the chapter verse. We moved from the psukim and we dealt with chapters. We discussed the different type of chapters in Chumash, the kapitlach, which are non-Jewish, the Parokim, the Psuchas and Stumas. All this is part of the wider picture of the Torah. Now, last time, we moved to the actual fact that the Mechabrim, the names of the of people who wrote the Sefer, often wanted their name to be attached somehow or other, Beremes, either in a gematria or in some other shape or form, in the Sefer which was written. We mentioned, for example, Koheles, we mentioned Yirmiah, that it is actually Merumas in the Sefer somewhere. That's what we discussed last time. And then we went on, where we finished off last time, we were in the middle of dealing with the numerological significance of each number. Now, that's not gematrias, that's very important too. And just by the way, if you want to hear a really good gematria, which I just heard a couple of days ago, it won't hurt to tell you about it. It comes from Eretz Yisrael, from Rav Weinberger. It says it's like this. We all know that Ish is the word which represents a really top-class man. We know, for example, in the beginning of Shmuel, there was an Ish. That was Elkanah, was a great man. We know Boaz was an Ish. The word Ish is something which is a special person. You have a similarity, lahavdil, in Latin and Greek, the difference between homo and vir. Homo means an ordinary man, vir means a virile, important man. Or in Greek, anthropos is just like an anthropological a person, an ordinary man. But aner, which is, it comes into England in the English in the form of android, that is a man who's a real top-class fellow. So lahavdil, in Hebrew you've also got names for man. You've got gever, you've got Adam, of course, is a human being. You've got enosh, and there's many different names. But the one which means the real man, or ish, Moshe, ish is the top class. Now, ish is gematria 311. Now, we have a pasuk in the Megillah which says, Mishloach man is ish l'reyehu. How do you become an ish? Ish has to have something connection with a friend. You can't be on your own. You can't just be entirely individualistic. Take the gematria of l'reyehu, you'll find it's also 311. So ish, not ish reyehu, ish esreyehu, ish l'reyehu, both are 311. Now here comes the next bit. How do you show this behavior as a human being that you're working for somebody else, not only if entirely for yourself? Well, if you put the two together, 311 plus 311 becomes 622. Guess what that makes? Todah Rabbah. So, you know, you want to be a mensch? Todah Rabbah. Remember, we say Hamodim is you've got to be Moida. You've got to be Hodor means thanks. It means admitting. The word means to be subservient to somebody else. It means you've got to have menschlichkeit and you've got to have respect and humility in your own behavior. In fact, the Ksavra Kabbalah on this week's Sedra explains the word al-oidos. They all ask, what's this? They complained, Miriam and Aaron were complaining, al-oidos, what's this al-oidos, asher lokach? So he says alodos can't just mean because there's much simpler words. Because ala shaloka, what's alodos? He says this odos is connected also with hodor. Have a look, we haven't got time now, but he works out that the word odos is connected with mode and hodor, and that's why that particular word was chosen in that context. Anyhow, I just mentioned that because I got rather excited about having heard it just 48 hours ago before I left to come back home again after Shavuos. Now, where we were up to was that every number which is mentioned in Tanakh or in davening, and there is a special significance to that number. And just going through the list of the things, we went. I gave you at the back of this sheet a number of 1 to 10 are all set out exactly what their particular significance was. And I believe last time we also a chiddush of my own that each of the Aseres Adibros represents its own number. And then we dealt with number 85, which is connected with Megillas Rus, the 85 Pesukim. You might remember that. And the 85 letters in Vayhi Bin Soa, that's this week's Sedra, isn't it? Vayhi Bin Soa, our own 85 letters, which is the smallest sefer for Matzilin Min HaDeliko, which is the Mishnah in the Maseches Yodayim and the Gemara in Shabbos. If there's a fire, Chas V'Shalom, and there's a sefer Torah there, of course you can go in, and Chacham didn't make the Gezerah not to do it. Kshemi Yechabeh, because the Kedush of the Sefer Torah is so important. But what is a Sefer Torah if it's all burnt? As long as there's 85 letters left, that's got the Kedusha of a Sefer and Matzilin Min Adlikah. That number 85 is a particularly connected with Shlemus, the minimum Shia, as we find in Megillas Rus, 85 Pesukim, that's the smallest of all the Sephora. I think we discussed that last time as well. Then we went into, I remember finishing off last time with the number 15, with a lot of different aspects of 15, and the first mission in Yevomus, I remember mentioning too. But now, one thing we didn't get round to, just the very last one, is the number 27. Now you say, well, what's 27? Well, think about it. There are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and there are 5 final letters. 22 plus 5 makes 27. There are a total of 27 letters in the Aleph Beis. I know for certain purposes we have 22, and then last week said we had the 22,000. Levium 22 has its own significance, but the number 27 represents the whole of the Aleph Beis in Shlemus. But there's more to it now. What's that? I can't hear it. Shem Zai Zoch, excellent. That's an example of it. Purity. The Shem Zai Zoch is also the 27. Now, however, if you look around, you'll find that this number 27 is known as the Mispar Horefuah. It's the number, for somehow or other, has within it the power of healing people. And therefore, if you take the Pasuk in Beshalach, which is written on the sheet here, that's talking about Kolamachel Oshesemti Mosham Elosim Alech Kenei Hashem Rofecho. There are 27 words in that particular Pasuk, which again indicates that has something to do with Refuah. Similarly, if you want, we know that Bris Milah requires a Refuah, and that's, by the way, why in Tachanun, which we started saying again, most people started saying it, although where I come from, we started saying Tachanun after Isruchag. But the Minhag Ha'olam has taken on to say it to the 12th, and now they've got Sfeikat Yomah. Some people actually decide, or even on the 13th. So many people just start saying Tachanun again. We say, not the Sfaradim, but the Ashkenazim say, is from the one Rachel Mechanuch Chotasi Vonek, etc. That chapter, if you look carefully through, it's talking about Refuah. It talks about Refuah. And if you count up, you'll find that there are 8 Shemas. The 8 times Hashem's name, which is again a remez to the idea that this is to do with Bris Milah. Now, if you look through the chapter which introduces Bris Milah first in Chumash, it's in Parshas Lech Lecha. Guess how many psukim there are in that chapter? 27. Bang on. There are 27 psukim. So we're seeing the Kedusha of psukim, and we're seeing that the psukim can give you a message as well. There are 27 psukim, that gives you a message. The number of words in the pasuk in Bashar gives you a message. Now, which bracha in Shmoyne Esra has 27 words? Nusach Ashkenaz. Refuah. Now, I've said before that Nusach Ashkenaz is very much more attuned to numerology in the Shemoneh Esrei than Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Sfarad's got its own segulas. I'm not going into that. But the fact of the matter is that Nusach Ashkenaz is tops when it comes to the actual number of the wording. And if you take the Brocha Refo'enu, you'll find it's got exactly 27 words. Why? Because that's the Mispar HaRefo'ah, as we just said. So we're seeing that numbers play a very significant part in the understanding what's going on. And as I said before, it's not just gematrias, it's actual numerology. The number itself seems to have within it a certain segula which can do things. As we know, Echad is unity. We know Beis, the world down here on earth, was connected, was actually created with the Beis, Bereshis, not the Aleph. And there's old Vikuach in the Medrash, why is the Beis start Bereshis rather than the Aleph? So the Medrash says, well, Beis stands for Baruch, and Aleph stands for Orur. You know, well, there's a lot of good things Aleph stands for as well. For Anochi Hashem. And the Beis can also stand for bad things. So what's the pshat? The answer is, that's one of about 1,000 reasons, but one of the most beautiful reasons is that the Beis represents duality, and everything in this world has to work in pairs. You can't work on your own, like we said, Ishtle Re'eu. You have Toshe B'Ksav, you have Toshe B'Al Peh, you have Bin Odel Mokim, you have Bin Odel Chavero. If you look at any scientific rules, they've got to have a negative and a positive. You can't get electricity without it. You can't get anything in physics unless you've got both negative and positive. And that's actually, interestingly enough, why? What is a firstborn in Hebrew? Beis, Chof, Reish, Bechoy. It should have been Ik. A firstborn should have been Aleph, Yud, Kuf, Ik. An Ik. You know what an Ik is? An Ik is a wild goat in Hebrew. So it's not an Ik. A person is a Bechor. He's second, 220, 200. Why was that chosen? Answer, because in Olam Hazeh, the Bechor is the second. That is first in this world. A Bechor might be the first, but he's got to be connected with two. So that is all part of the beauty of the Lashon HaKodesh. Well, that finishes off what I didn't quite manage to do last time. And now let's now look at the last topic I want to do. And then, Mr. Shem, if I'm offered the final version, I'm going to give you an example of how all this works together in a particular context. That'll be next time. But for this time, let's have a look now at the last topic, which is letters which go missing. Now, we've all heard of a loud silence. How can silence be loud? That's known in English, it's known as an oxymoron, or a paradox. So, it means you put something which is the exact opposite and has a tremendous meaning. Because, for example, you see who is here, but you can see more from who isn't here. Why? Because that gives you a bigger message than if somebody's absent and missing, that can actually be much more significant than who's actually present. Sorry? The silence, deafening silence, exactly. That's well known as sorry? Conspicuous by their absence, that's right. Now, you find that, for example, in the case of, just taking an example of this in Chumash, at the end of every single Sedra there's a Masoira. Of how many Psukim there are in that Sedra? Every Sedra, bar one, there's only one Sedra which does not have a Simon. The truth of the matter is, all Sedras had simonim in the past, and originally, and they had more than one simonim. That's a whole discussion on its own as to how the simonim came about. But, and in fact, even that Sedra, which doesn't have a simon, in the Malbim Chumash, if you look at the Malbim production of Chumash, there is actually a simon. But in all the regular Chumashim, 99 out of 100 Chumashim, there's one Sedra which doesn't have the simon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No? Do you know which one? Tzav. The answer is Pekudei. If you look at Pekudei, you will not find a simon for Pekudei. You will find a simon for every other Sedra bar Pekudei. Some have got three simonim. You've got Miketz, it's got Chizkio, Amatzio, and a yearly Eved. Each Sedra's got a simon. Pekudei's got no simon. Now, this was asked to the late Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron Levrach, who was a very, very big Pekeach. And he said, well, there probably was a Simon originally, but the Simon has to come to 92, because the 92 took him in the Sedra, and the Simon was Beli Kol. Beli Kol is 92. So what happened was, they wrote down on the Chumash, Bli Kol Siman. So the new printer came and said, this is Bli Kol Siman, we'll leave it out. So they got left out. That's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained, how the Siman got lost. But although it explains how the Siman got lost, it does not explain why it got lost. We know physically why, but why did the Ribbono Shel'olam allow it to get lost like that? The Ribbono Shel'olam must have had a reason. When we've got our nuschos, we have mistakes in our nuschos. There's a ganzer tumult with certain things, whether or not we should put them in. For example, in Olenu, we originally it clearly said Shehein Mishtachim Lehevel Vorik, etc. Now I didn't say that as a boy. It wasn't in my Sidurim. However, it's quite clear it should be there. There's no doubt. And we know why it's not there. Because Ricky Vorik was, is Yenim. You know, it's the same gematria as the Dover Acha. It's so therefore, they had to get left out. Because they were going to censor. The Shailis Bismana Zeh. Now that it did get left out, and we know it shouldn't have got left out, what's the din now about bringing it back? Is it right to say it because you know it was there originally? Or is it, no, the Nusach is without it now. Which is the right thing to do? You find that also in Haggadah, when Pesach falls on Matzi Shabbos, and we've got Beis Mem Shin, and the Beis Mem Shin doesn't stand for Matzi Shabbos at all, it stands for Mishnah Shabbos Mishnais, it's quite clear, people got it wrong. But therefore, because it says Beis Mem Shin, and they think it's Matzi Shabbos, so we change the Nusach around. And that's the minhag. The shaila is, now that we know that the really... that's not the correct meaning. What is the din? It's a very, very complicated shaila as to when you're allowed to go back to original nusach or not. But the point is, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been koveya for us a particular nusach, we've got to stick with it. That's the way we've been brought up, and that's how it's got to be. There's a machlok saposkim about that particular situation. Now, getting back to the pekudei. So pekudei, there's got to be a reason why it... We know how it came about, but what's the reason? And secondly, another question is, why say Bli Kol? What's that got to do with the Sedra? Normally, the word at the end is either a name of a person, or it's a word from the Sedra, or it's a concept from the Sedra. Those three types of Masorah words. So, in the case of Bekesa, which is mentioned before, Yi Eli Eved, it's a posuk at the end of the Sedra, Yi Eli Eved. Or, it's the concept of the whole of the Sedra. He's trying to make Avodim. And then you've got Chizkia and Amatsu, which are names of people. And that also fits in with the concept of Miketz. Now, but what happened to Pekudei? The answer is that the whole of Pekudei is Hispatlus. Moshe did do nothing of his own accord. He was nothing. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm an honor of Me'od. I don't do anything out of my own. It's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, we see at the end of this week's Sedra that this is the problem with Aaron and Miriam. They didn't give the proper chashivas to Moshe, who was such a great honor of. He didn't do anything of his own. And therefore, Moshe was Keilu, who's Bli Kol. That's probably why they suggested that should be the simon. The Malbim simon, by the way, is Eitzei. Again, same thing, he went out, Eitzei 92. However, Lechaira, I think the possible explanation is taking what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying, but going a little bit further. If the pshat is that Bli Kol was the idea of the Sedra, then the absence of a simon is the biggest simon you can get. The fact that every other place has got a simon to tell you what it's about. This one's got no simon. That's the loud silence again. The fact that it's not there is telling you that message. It's not there, it doesn't exist. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had no chashivas for himself. And that's why there's no simon. So what we're seeing is the absence of something can be very, very potent. If something is missing from the davening or from wherever it could be. I mean, for example, you have the very, very interesting Shaila on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, whereas normally we say the whole business on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is a bit left out. And there's a ganze machlokes achronim as to whether or not we, on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we should keep our nusach, or whether we should bring in the musaf, the normal weekday nusach as well. There's a whole tumult about it. The Orach HaShulchan says you should. He says we've got it wrong, we should bring it in. But our meaning is not to do it. What should you do? Which is the right thing to hand to do it? There's a machlokes aposkim about it, which is very, very fascinating. But this is the same concept. So now, when a letter goes missing, there's got to be deeper explanation for it. Now, I've written down a few examples. Let's just see how many we can get through before the end of the of time. First of all, this is a discovery of my own, but because what I tried to do is when I was learning through Tehillim, I always try to check what letters are missing. And the same thing in Shema and Esra. It's remarkable what comes out. I found in the whole of David Ori, the letter Gimel is not there. The only letter missing in the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi is the letter Gimel. Why? Well, it's very simple. David Hashem Ori is teaching us that you've got to, Hashem, you've got to sit and learn. But if you sit and learn, how are you going to do chesed? And we know chesed is equal. A person's not potter from chesed when he's learning. So what's going on here? But David HaMelech said, I'm so busy that if I don't learn, I won't be able to do the chesed. Therefore, it's like a surgeon who once is the top surgeon. He said, I can't do an operation at the moment because if I do the operation, I won't have time to study. And if I don't have any time to study, I won't be the best surgeon anymore. He's got to keep his qualifications going in order to do it. So it's true that you've got to learn all the time. And you've got to give up your learning to do chesed at any occasion. But there can be a situation in which the learning has to exceed the chesed. They say, for example, you go to yeshiva. They won't ask, why don't you do like the Lubavitch and go out and do chesed in the yeshivas? They should teach them how to do chesed. They should all go out and help people. They should babysit and should do things while they're in the yeshiva. The answer is simple. They're in the yeshiva to get the learning in order to be able to know how to do chesed afterwards. And if they're busy running around doing chesed, they won't learn the basics. They won't know what chesed is. So therefore, while you're in yeshiva, you don't go on hafganot, and you don't go around running around trying to do chesed. You sit and learn, because a boy in the yeshiva has to be trained first. It's like the key, the education to what comes later. So that's the pshat in the gimel. In David Ori being missing, really Gimel means Goymel Chesed, the Gemara says in Shabbos. Aleph Bino, first of all you learn, and Gimel Dalim is the Gimel and the Dalet. However, in the David Ori, where Torah is so important to David HaMelech, and he knows that if he doesn't sit and learn every day in the Beis HaMedrash, he won't be the David HaMelech, he won't be able to do the Chesed, the Gimel get lost. In that instance, that is a big remez that the Gimel, which is Gemilas Chesed, is missing from the David Ori, because David is talking about circumstances where the Torah is so important that even Chesed doesn't have to be done. That's one example. If you have a look, the famous Gemara in Baruch Kama, the Tes is missing from the first Aseres Hadibur, but says the Gemara, why? Chas v'sholom posko toivo mi klal Yisrael. The first Dibra's got smashed. They didn't want to have the test there because having a test would smash the Tova. Oh, there's deeper explanations for it. But the Gemara clearly says that. In the first Dibra, you don't have a test. In the second Dibra, you've got two tests. And you've got Zeron Natuya, and you've got, there's another test there, Man Yitavloch. But in the first Dibra, you don't have a test. So again, you see, test represents Tova. Go through the next one. The Samach. Samach always represents the Sitra Achra, as well known. The Samach is the Sotan. That's the meaning of Samach. We discussed this before, but there's only two psukim in the whole Torah which begin with the letter Samach. You remember them? Two psukim in the whole of the Torah which begin with the Samach. Soru Mahar and the other one Slach. One in the case of the Meraglim and one in the case of the Eger. What's the pshat? The pshat is that when the Samach got hold of things, it made people sin. And then Medrash Rabba tells us there was no Samach in the Torah until after the Chet of Chavo. So you see, that's what Samach represents. It doesn't mean you get a bad letter. Sotan is a Malach. But at the same time, you've got to watch out where the Samach occurs, and it doesn't occur at the beginning of the Pasuk except in those two places. So similarly, there's no Samach in the whole of the Parshas Bikurim, because the Bikurim is the antidote to Amalek. The Samach represents the Sotan, which is the Kefirah of Amalek, and Bikurim is the answer to Amalek, and therefore the letter Samach got left out. Next. There's no pay in the first brach of Shema and Esra. That's a well-known thing. In the whole of the first brach, there's no pay. And the answer, again, I assume, is Ein Lanu Peh. Who gave you the chutzpah and the right to go to the Ribbono Shel Olam and start talking to the Melech Malchei Hamelochim? Where do you get the right to do that from? Well, the answer is the only reason you've got the right to do it is because Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agitil Osecha. Three pain in that pasuk, by the way. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. And if you didn't say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, you can't start your Shema and Esra. In fact, there's a shaila in the Bir Halacha as to if a person says Shem Nesra without saying Shem Sensitive Toch, does he have to be chosen the whole Shem Nesra or not? That's a tzorich iyun. So if it's tzorich iyun, you wouldn't do it. But the chachila, quite clearly, you have to say Hashem Sosa Tiftach, because without that, you haven't got the rishus to start. So the pay, therefore, is left out to remind us, look, ein lonu peh. However, the final fay is left out of the whole of the Shemoin Esra. There's no final fay in the whole of benching, or in the whole of Shemoin Esra. Why is there no final fay? Alright, in the first Brach of Shemoin Esra, we said there's no pay because you can't start. Once you've started, right, we'll go back and say the pay afterwards. But why is there not a single final fay in the whole of Shemoin Esra? You'll find it in Modim Drabonon, Sof Golu Yosenu. You'll find it in Lokai Netzor, to Doth Nafshi. But you will not find a final fay in the whole of Shemoin Esra. When I say Shemoin Esra, I don't mean Musaf. There's plenty of Musaf, but not in Shachris, Mincha, or Ma'ariv. You will not find a final fay, except one single place in the whole of davening. You won't find it in Yom Kippur. You won't find it in Rosh Hashanah. You don't find it every day of the week when you say the 19 brachas. You'll find it in one single place in Shemoin Esra. Anyone know where that is? No. The answer is you'll find it on Purim in Al Anisim, but nowhere else. You'll not find the Chanukah. You'll find it in Purim in Al Anisim. It says, Taf V'noshim. That's the only place you'll find a final fay. What's the pshat? Pshat's like this. We have a rule that we shouldn't really have started davening because, where do we get the chutzpah from? However, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah to be mispalel. And they said Hashem's fosatif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do that. If Hashem gives us a mitzvah, we do it. However, the Gemara then tells us, once you started, O levai sheyispalel odem kol hayom. What gave you the right to stop? You should never stop davening. Once you've started davening, you never finish. Siamto lekol hanishvochid rachemonah, the Gemara says. Did you finish praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can never finish. Levai sheyispalel odem kol hayom. You're chayiv to do davening all the time. Even when you're eating, even when you're working, you should be davening all the time. With one exception. The exception is if you're drunk. Says Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, a person who's drunk is not allowed to daven. Now, which is the one day of the year that you've got to get drunk? Purim. So the middle of the final fay gets into Al Anisim.
Why the word tough?
Sorry?
Why tough?
What tough is the final fay? You had to bring the final fay into Purim because on Purim you have to stop. You can't daven anymore. And therefore they had to find a way of getting a fay in it. So they brought in the pasuk from the Megillah. Mitaf ad noshim ad taf. Was it Taf Adnoshim? Taf Adnoshim. Whichever. So, but the point is that the one single day of the year, you're chayiv Adam Liv Sumi Bapuria, you're chayiv to get drunk. If you're chayiv to get drunk, that means you're chayiv to stop davening. So, Mehmet, you have to put a final fay in it. But anywhere else, anywhere, Chanukah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, there's no final fay in benching or in davening.
What's the time?
Sorry? Pay. Pay represents the mouth. So the beginning is starting and the final phase finishing. That's what the pay represents. You'll find also, let's quickly go through the last few points very, very quickly. You'll find in Mizmor LeDavid, Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, that you'll find there's no tes and no samach. Well, you might say, so what? But it's got to be a reason. And I believe the reason is simple. And maybe we'll use that in the final version to show the overall picture of that particular mizmah, a remarkable mizmah LeDavid. But anyhow, the test represents the perfection, like we said before, Baba Kama, Chasuk Shon Poska Tova, and the Samach represents the other extreme of going to the Sotan. If you want to get Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, that particular mizmah, which is a remarkable mizmah, which we say, when putting the Torah back on Shabbos, it's the highest form of accolade for the Torah. It's teaching us don't go to extremes. We don't want the extreme on either side. A Yid has got to take the Derech HaMamutza, the Shvil HaZohov, the middle way, as the Rambam calls it. We don't want extremes. We don't want Kitzoniyot, extremes of either way. Too much this way, too much that way is not the Yiddish Derech. Always try to take the middle way. Therefore, in this particular mizmah, which is such a holy mizmah, there's no tes and no samach to teach us, you didn't stay on the right path in the middle. That's my suggestion. Then, let's take one final one, because it's time now. The final one is when we do Mizmor L'Saida. Mizmor L'Saida has no gimel and no kuf. It's got every other letter bar the gimel and the kuf. So you might ask, what's the connection between those two letters? Well, there's a famous kasha about the Rishonim on the Tosfos at the beginning of Gittin, as to why a get is so called. A get is so called because those two letters never occur together in Tanakh. Frek Rab Chaim Kanievsky in Talmud Akro, there are four other pairs of letters which never occur, and one of those pairs is the Gimel and the Kuf. They'll never find a Gimel and Kuf together. So that gave me the clue. Mizmor L'Saida is the one Mizmor which will remain La'asid Lavo. All the other korbanos will be bottled, except the korban todah. There's no necessity for chatos. There's no necessity for any other oila for any form of sin. The only korban which will never be bottled is the korban todah. Like Purim is the day which will remain la'asid lovo. Therefore, it's trying to teach us that in this mizmor we are not going to have letters which don't get on with each other. This is a remez. This is one of the pairs of letters which don't get on together. It's got no place in this particular mizmor. You want to have the mizmor L'Saida, which will be L'Asid Lavo, the thanksgiving to Hashem. Like we started off at the very beginning with Hodor. Hodor is the Jewish way of behaving. Ish le'ereyeyu todor rabo, as we said at the beginning. Hodor is to show our subservience to other people, to show that we are really thankful. And that will never go away. The chet might disappear, but the mitzvah to give hodor, to thank other people, to be nice to other people, that will never disappear. Therefore, there's no room for any pirud, and for that reason, it could be that there's no gimel and no kuf in Mizmor L'Saida. Well, I have to stop now because time is up. I've made one or two little further references here which you can follow up. But watch out, it's kedai when you're learning Tehillim or you're learning or you're davening, just check which letter is not there. Find out why he's gone. AWOL, where's he gone? And then you can understand what the reason might be for that to happen. Okay, Mr. Shem, if you give me a chance, one more chance, I'll then try and bring all together in one.